Okay, so you know how sometimes when you try to learn something new and it's like really complex, it feels almost like trying to understand like a whole other language?
Yeah, definitely.
Just get lost in all the information and you don't even know what's important anymore?
Yeah, that's the worst.
Well, that's what we're trying to tackle here. Today, we are diving deep into a topic that has been central to human thought for centuries: wisdom. And we're going to be basing our discussion on a lecture from Dr. Gary Metters.
Yeah, we're going to be looking specifically at excerpts from Knowing God's Will, Session 4B, The Will of God in the Old Testament, Part 2.
And this is actually the second part of a two-part lecture.
Right, so he's building on some groundwork already laid.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that even Dr. Metters himself felt that he had so much to cover that he had to break it down into two parts.
Wow.
So, we're dealing with a pretty substantial topic here.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
But our goal for you, the listener, is to really help you grasp this idea of wisdom as it's presented in the Old Testament. We want to break it down in a way that makes sense and see what practical insights we can glean from it.
Sounds good.
All right, so let's just jump right in. When the Old Testament talks about wisdom, what is it really getting at? What's the core idea here?
Well, the key to understanding this is looking at the original Hebrew word that's used, which is chokmah.
Chokmah.
Chokmah. Now, when the Old Testament was translated into Greek, that's a version called the Septuagint, and it was really influential in how these terms were understood in the early church. Chokmah was usually translated as Sophia.
Oh, yeah, I heard that word before.
Right.
Yeah.
And what's really fascinating is that at its core, chokmah seems to be fundamentally about skill.
Really? Skill. So it's not just like knowledge or just this general idea of being wise, but it's actually about being able to do something.
Exactly. Think of it as the ability to do something well or to understand how to handle a situation. Dr. Metters uses this helpful analogy. It's like the skill needed to steer a boat,
Okay.
or the ability to learn from your experiences and to make sense of them. So although we often use the word wisdom to translate chokmah, it's really important to keep this underlying idea of competence and ability in mind.
Wow. So it's not this like abstract quality you either have or you don't. It's something active. It's focused on what you can do.
That's right.
Now, I know that the lecture gives some specific examples of this. Could you walk us through a few of those?
Absolutely. So one of the first examples that Dr. Metters talks about is in Exodus chapter 28, verse 3.
Okay.
This passage describes these artisans who are tasked with making these really elaborate garments for the priests.
Okay, yeah.
And what's interesting is that in the English Standard Version, they're described as skillful. But the original Hebrew word that is used there is chokmah. And what really stands out is this phrase, spirit of skill. It's like they have this inherent talent, this ability that they've developed.
So it's not necessarily like God suddenly gave them the skill at that moment. They've been cultivating these skills and these talents all along.
That's right. It's more like highlighting their existing talent.
And this comes up again in Exodus 31, verses 3 through 4 and verse 6.
Right.
And this is where God is filling individuals with the Spirit of God. But it's paired with this interesting collection of qualities,
Yeah.
ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship.
Yes.
And once again, chokmah is right there in the original Hebrew.
What's interesting about that Exodus passage is the sheer variety of crafts that are mentioned, working with gold and silver, bronze, cutting stones, carving wood. All these very practical hands-on skills are connected with this idea of chokmah.
Wow.
And a lot of the translations will reflect that by using words like ability instead of just wisdom, really emphasizing this idea of skill.
And so this wasn't just like limited to like religious activities or anything like that.
No, not at all.
The lecture also mentions 1 Chronicles 22:15, which talks about a huge number of skilled workmen.
Exactly.
And that's chokmah again, needed for this massive building project.
Stone cutters, masons, carpenters, all sorts of tradespeople. The emphasis is really on their level of expertise and their skill in their particular trade. And
Yeah.
then there's also that brief but really telling example of the captain of the ship in Jonah.
Oh, yeah. What about him?
He's described as skilled, same Hebrew word, yet he is completely unable to control the storm.
Right.
And I think that serves as this powerful reminder that while wisdom can mean skill, skill in one area doesn't necessarily mean you've got mastery over every situation.
It's a humbling thought, isn't it?
It really is.
So we've seen chokmah used in relation to these very technical abilities.
Yeah.
But the lecture also explores another significant aspect of wisdom, which is wisdom as understanding and experience. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. Absolutely. So if you look at Genesis chapter 41, verses 33 and 39, when Pharaoh is dealing with this impending famine, he looks for a discerning and wise man.
Okay.
And again, the word chokmah is used to manage the entire land of Egypt. And in this context, wise really means someone who's skilled in administration and management, someone who has the understanding needed to navigate this huge economic crisis.
It's like you need someone who is skilled at preventing mass starvation.
Precisely. It takes this idea of wisdom and grounds it in a very practical situation.
Yeah.
And then the book of Job in chapter 12 gives us another layer of understanding. In verses 1 and 2, Job uses wisdom and understanding almost interchangeably, highlighting this really close relationship between those two concepts. And then in verse 12, there's this beautiful example of what we call synonymous parallelism. Wisdom is with the aged and understanding in length of days. Here, wisdom is directly connected to the experience that comes with age. And Dr. Metters points out that sometimes in contemporary culture, we tend to overlook the value of the elderly.
Yeah, that's true.
But in many societies, their accumulated wisdom and understanding is deeply respected. So it makes you think about the value we place on experience.
Absolutely. And, you know, in a way, experience is a form of skill, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a way of navigating the complexities of life. Now, the lecturer also brings up Isaiah chapter 5, verse 21.
Yes.
And it looks at this connection between wise and shrewd.
Right.
Which is a little bit of an unexpected turn.
It is. That verse talks about those who are wise in their own eyes, and it also describes them as shrewd in their own sight. And here, wisdom seems to have a connotation of skill, but maybe skill applied to negative ends, like manipulation or craftiness.
Oh.
Dr. Metters gives the example of cult leaders.
Okay.
Who can be very skilled at persuading and controlling others.
Yeah.
But ultimately, their goals are harmful. So it's a reminder that skill or wisdom in this sense isn't inherently good or morally neutral.
Right. So just because you're good at something doesn't mean you're using it for good. So if we try to synthesize all of this, it seems like being wise in the Old Testament sense is really about being skillful at living.
Yes.
It's not just about obeying God, but also about engaging with Scripture, not just for intellectual knowledge, but for this kind of transformation that impacts how we live.
That's a really good way to put it.
Yeah.
And Dr. Metters actually shares a story about his father, who considered someone a wise man simply because he agreed with his opinion.
Oh, wow.
It's a warning against having the shallow understanding of wisdom. True wisdom isn't about sounding intelligent or just echoing our own viewpoints. It's about a changed way of thinking, a worldview, and a set of values.
Right. So it's more than just head knowledge. It's about living it out.
Exactly.
And to really drive home this point that chokmah often means skill, the lecture goes through a whole bunch of examples where it's translated that way.
It does.
So let's just touch on a few of those.
Yeah, let's do that just to kind of solidify this concept.
Okay. So where do we see that?
Well, we see it in Exodus 35.26, where it refers to the skill to weave, which was essential for creating the tabernacle.
Huh?
Then in Exodus 35.35, it talks about the ability or the skill to teach.
Right.
And as Dr. Metters points out, a good teacher is someone who demonstrates wisdom by skillfully guiding others to understand Scripture. Exodus 36 speaks of the skill to build the sanctuary, which, of course, we can connect to the expertise of a carpenter or a builder. Second Chronicles mentions skill with raw materials and construction, again highlighting the proficiency of all these different tradespeople. Ecclesiastes 2 links wisdom to the skill to work or for a career. So basically, being wise in your profession means being skilled in it. And even something as seemingly ordinary as skill with an axe in Ecclesiastes 10, that was something that was really important in the ancient world.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Ezekiel 28 again mentions being skilled in business. And of course, Solomon's famous wisdom as a ruler is often seen in his skill and judgment, like in that famous story of the two mothers.
Right, right. So it really is fascinating how this theme of skill runs through all these different aspects of life.
It does.
That are described as wisdom in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
So where does this skill come from? Is it something you're just born with, or is it something you acquire?
Well, the lecture emphasizes that this chokmah, this wisdom, it doesn't just magically appear.
Right.
It comes from learning from experience, and ideally it deepens with age. And as we saw earlier with that example from Isaiah, this skill can be used in different ways, for good or for bad. And Dr. Metters actually encourages you, the listener, to go back and read Proverbs chapters 1 through 9, those My Son poems, to see practical examples of what it looks like to be skillful and wise in your everyday life. And he kind of sums it up by saying that wisdom is basically the skill of connecting the reason that you derive from your experiences in life, from Scripture, and from your profession to achieve success in those areas.
A very practical way to think about it. And you know, the lecture then moves on to what many would consider like a key verse on wisdom.
Yeah.
Proverbs 9:10.
Yes.
Could you maybe unpack that verse for us a little bit?
Sure. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding."
Okay.
And Dr. Metters really highlights the parallelism in this verse. He explains that in this context, fear is parallel to knowledge, and wisdom is parallel to understanding.
Interesting.
So when it says the fear of the Lord, it's not primarily about being terrified. It's about having this deep respect for God, this understanding of who he is, which naturally leads to recognizing the consequences of disobeying him.
So it's more about reverence than just being scared.
Exactly. And the lecture uses this really interesting illustration. It talks about a father standing in a basement and his little girl is at the top of the stairs.
Okay.
And the image of her jumping into the darkness is often used to depict blind faith. But Dr. Metters argues that biblical faith isn't about leaping into the unknown.
Okay.
It's about stepping into the light where we have an understanding of who God is. And wisdom, this understanding, is part of that well-lit path.
I like that. So it's not some mysterious thing, but something that we can actually know and apply. So if wisdom is this skillful way of living that's rooted in the fear of the Lord, that reverence and knowledge of him, how does that actually affect the decisions we make?
Well, Dr. Metters emphasizes that wise decisions aren't just about choosing what seems logical to us on an intellectual level. They're about choosing what's right, what lines up with a biblical worldview and a strong set of values. And he also highlights the importance of community in this process, you know, acknowledging that we can be wrong in our own perception of what skillful living looks like, and that we often need the insights and perspectives of others.
Right, because we all have our own blind spots.
Absolutely. And the lecture also touches on this critique of what it calls pragmatism, which is just doing whatever seems to make the most sense at the time.
Okay, so pragmatism, just doing what works for you in the moment.
Yeah, and that often lacks the crucial element of having a foundation in biblical principles. A truly wise decision, according to Dr. Metters, is one where you can trace a line from a biblical worldview and your values to the decision you're making.
So you should be able to explain why you're making that choice, and it should be more than just because I feel like it.
Exactly. He gives this great anecdote about asking students why they wanted to get married.
Okay.
And pushing them to go beyond just saying, well, we love each other. Because you need a deeper, more reasoned foundation than just your feelings.
Well, right. And this reminds me of something else the lecture brought up.
Mm-hmm.
The importance of examining even our deeply held worldviews.
Absolutely. It's crucial to evaluate those. Think about someone like Paul before his conversion. He had a very strong worldview and a set of values, but he was using them to persecute Christians.
Yeah.
So we have to constantly check our own beliefs to make sure they're really lining up with God's word and that they're not leading us down a harmful path. Intelligence alone doesn't guarantee wisdom.
That's so true. And I think it's really important to remember that this skillful living, this chokmah, it comes from consistently engaging with God's word.
It does.
And even when there's not a verse that speaks directly to our situation, we can still make wise decisions by applying these biblical principles, mm-hmm. by thinking them through and understanding how they apply.
Right.
So towards the end of the lecture, there was a discussion and a critique of Gary Friesen's perspective on decision making. Why is that important for understanding wisdom in the Old Testament?
Yeah, so Dr. Metters acknowledges that Friesen has made some valuable contributions, especially in critiquing subjective approaches to discerning God's will.
Right.
But he points out this significant difference in their understanding of wisdom. Friesen suggests that for decisions that aren't explicitly moral in nature, the goal should be to make wise choices based on what he calls spiritual expediency.
Spiritual expediency.
Yeah. But Dr. Metters argues that his own understanding of wisdom is more deeply rooted in the scriptures themselves and in this broader ethical and philosophical framework.
So the main point of disagreement is this idea of spiritual expediency.
Exactly. And Dr. Metters highlights that the term spiritual is really more of a New Testament concept.
Okay.
And this idea of spiritual expediency, it can get pretty subjective, and it might not line up with the Old Testament concept of chokmah as this skillful living that has a basis in reason and principle. He argues that chokmah sets a higher bar than just doing whatever seems expedient or convenient in the moment just because it feels spiritual. So while someone might see some superficial similarities between the two views, Dr. Metters really emphasizes this fundamental difference in how deeply their views are rooted in Scripture.
So it sounds like for Dr. Metters, true wisdom is less about what feels right to us in the moment.
Yes.
And more about thoughtfully applying God's truth as we find it in the Old Testament.
Exactly.
Now, how does Dr. Metters conclude his discussion on Old Testament wisdom?
Well, he ends by referencing Isaiah 8.1, Steen. Bind up the testimony, seal up the law among my disciples. And the emphasis here is on God's word, the law, and the testimony as the primary source of guidance. It's not about just relying on our feelings or subjective experiences.
Right.
And then in Isaiah 8.20, there's a warning against seeking guidance from divination or mediums or things like that.
Okay.
And it reinforces this idea to the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. True guidance and therefore true wisdom flows from Scripture. And that leads to this transformation of our minds, our worldviews, and our values, which we then apply to every area of life. So knowing God's will and living wisely in the Old Testament, it was really about internalizing the worldview and the values that came from the law and the testimony. And the book of Proverbs is a great example of that. And all of this sets the stage for their discussion in the next lecture, which is about the will of God in the New Testament.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Old Testament wisdom, what would you say is the most important takeaway for our listeners?
Well, I think the core insight is that wisdom in the Old Testament, it's not this abstract, unattainable idea. It's really about skill, the ability to live well, to understand God's principles, and to make decisions based on this well-formed worldview that's grounded in Scripture. So I'd encourage our listeners to consider how this understanding might actually change their perspective on what it means to be wise.
That's a really interesting challenge, and it kind of leaves us with this final question for our listeners to ponder. How might understanding wisdom as skillful living challenge some of our modern ideas about what success looks like and how we make decisions? It definitely gives us all something to think about.
It does. And if this has sparked your curiosity, you might want to go back and spend some time in the book of Proverbs or explore how wisdom and understanding are connected in other parts of Scripture. And of course, we'll be continuing this discussion in TK's episodes.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We hope it's given you a new perspective on this really important topic.